What are the Gospels? I mean, what kind of writings are these? That's the sort of question we wrestled with in seminary. What genre are we dealing with when we read something like Luke? Is this a biography, the way we understand biography now? A letter? Something akin to a magazine profile? Some other sort of genre we don't really have today? In the world of New Testament studies, comparisons are made between the Gospels and other ancient examples of biography or hagiography, with plenty of dispute about just how similar and different the Gospels are from these other writings. It's always helpful, I think, to think about genre when trying to understand a text, because what we read helps determine how we read it. Obviously, we read the poetry of Isaiah differently than the way we read the Holiness Code in Leviticus. We read a letter to a church in Philippi differently than we read writings of apocalyptic literature in John's Revelation. So, how do we read Luke? What are we dealing with? What kind of text is this? It's really not so straightforward. Even within Luke's gospel, we find a variety of genres. We have an infancy narrative. We have a passion story. We have direct address to Theophilus. There's poetry in there. Of course, there's one of Jesus' favorite literary devices, the parable. But overall, at the risk of simplification, I like to read the Gospels as portraits of Jesus in the context of God's coming kingdom. Each Gospel writer has his own angle, his own emphases, to use this image of the portrait, his own palette, his own mixture of colors, his own canvas. Luke's portrait is detailed, orderly, but lots of subtle nuances that you might miss on a first glance, one that rewards deep and sustained attention. As a piece of literature, just as with all the gospel writers, Luke employs clever literary devices that do more than what a plain report of a person's life could do. In our passage this morning, we're given details that certainly add shade to Jesus's life, to the Luke's portrait of Jesus. But the question I want us to sit with this morning is not just who is Jesus, though that's a very worthy question. Who is Jesus is proclaimed loudly throughout those first two chapters of Luke with the Christmas story. But another fundamental question that I think Luke is leading us to ask is, and where can we find him? For we who know Jesus, where can we find him? In our reading this morning, we are given a treat. It's the only time in the canon of Scripture that we get a glimpse into the character of Jesus before his ministry began. A 12-year-old Jesus has gone with his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And I've brought 12-year-olds to worship before. We're told this was a regular pilgrimage for the family of Joseph and Mary. We're also given a glimpse into how foreign this culture is from our own. I mean, it boggles the modern mind that Jesus could be missing for over a day and his parents just assume he's with someone else in the traveling company. The reliance on extended family and kinsfolk and friends all living together in relationships of support and mutual trust is unfortunately as foreign to us as a temple with animal sacrifices. It takes them 3 days, an amount of time ever significant for Luke and other early Christian writers. It takes them 3 days to find Jesus, but they do find him in the temple, conversing with the teachers there. Now, up to this point in Luke's gospel, we've met several important characters. You have Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, Anna and Simeon, the prophets. a group of shepherds, and a multitude of angels. All of these characters are focused on this one that is coming, on Jesus. Up to now, Jesus has been promised, or discussed, or celebrated, or worshipped, or proclaimed. But now, for the first time in Luke's gospel, we finally meet Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, Luke just got colorful for the first time. When reading a text like this, especially scripture, it's instructive to pay attention to a person's first words. How are we introduced to Jesus? Here we have Jesus' first words in Luke's gospel, and they tell us what he will be about. But Mary, undoubtedly relieved and angry all at the same time, says to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been looking for you everywhere." And Jesus' response turns it right back on Mary. "Why were you looking for me? I'm sure you knew I would be about my father's work." A New Testament scholar, N.T. Wright, suggests that this story is the front end of a frame around Luke's gospel. At the end of Luke's gospel is another story that is also unique to Luke, not found in any of the other gospel accounts. The story of two people also sharing anguish about the 3 days that have elapsed. Two people journeying from Jerusalem, this time assuming they had left Jesus in Jerusalem, unaware that the risen Jesus is actually with them. The language in the two stories from Jesus' childhood and on the road to Emmaus are remarkably similar. And Wright suggests that we pair these two stories under the title, "On Finding the Jesus You Thought You'd Lost." If this is a frame for Luke's gospel, and I think it is, then it has something fundamental to tell us about who Jesus is. Perhaps Luke is writing for people who have some idea of who Jesus is, but find that he is more elusive than they had imagined. It's Luke's gospel that gives us Mary's encounter with Gabriel, the Annunciation. Mary is aware from the beginning that Jesus, in the words of Gabriel, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That is all before Jesus is born. Mary knows who Jesus is, and then she gives birth to him, and she observes how shepherds come and worship him, how prophets worship God because of him. She knows him as a mother knows her baby. She knows Jesus. She knows he's special. She knows he is the Son of God. But now, in the temple, 12-year-old Jesus doesn't do or say what she's expecting. Just as later on, he won't do or say what those disciples on the road to Emmaus are expecting. I think Luke is intentional in framing his gospel this way. This is who Jesus is. And this is really the life for those of us who walk with Jesus. Every time we relax and think we've really understood him, he'll be up ahead, or perhaps staying behind while we go on, without thinking, without noticing, without attending, without considering. The people of God, Mary, Joseph, Jesus' disciples, Luke's first century audience, day springers, the people of God are always on the road from having encountered Jesus. Have we left him behind? Has he been right here in our midst and we've just missed him? Like Mary, have we perhaps taken Jesus for granted? Because if she can do it, you better believe that we can. We can't assume He is accompanying us as we go off on our business. We must be willing, when we recognize the lack of his presence, just like Mary, to search for him, to spend days finding him, to hunt for him, to search for him in prayer, in the scriptures, in the sacraments, not to give up until we find him again. And of course, when we do find him again, let's not be surprised when he doesn't say or do what we expect him to say or do. He must be busy with his Father's work. Jesus, for Luke, is, yes, the Son of God. But do we know what that actually means? It's good for us to say, to declare together, as we do, that Jesus is the Son of God. But James, of course, would remind us that even the demons believe and they shudder. It's not enough that we use the right words to describe who Jesus is. We must encounter Jesus. And when we do, we find often that he is not quite what we expected. It's arresting, almost breathtaking when we encounter the unexpected. October 2nd, 2006 was a Monday, and word began to spread very quickly throughout rural Lancaster County in Pennsylvania that a man, Charles Roberts IV, had entered an Amish school with a gun. Roberts was a milk truck driver who serviced many of the Amish families in that area of the country. He had a wife and three children of his own. By noon that day, CNN was carrying the news. And horrifically, Roberts that day shot and killed five young Amish girls and injured five others before taking his own life. This tight-knit Amish community, as you can imagine, was gutted. Their children. The news of the shooting shook the world. But the swift response from the Amish community was really what startled everyone. Before the day was out, October 2nd, 2006, an Amish neighbor went to the Roberts' home to express forgiveness to Roberts' widow and family. One Amish man held Roberts' sobbing father for an hour, consoling him. The Amish community came together trying anonymously, though the anonymity kind of fell away quickly, to set up a charitable fund for the Roberts family. When the Roberts family held a funeral for the shooter, over half of those who were in attendance were from the Amish community. Why this unexpected response? This was not a coordinated PR move on the part of the Amish. This was the second nature response of Anabaptists who have for centuries committed themselves to nonviolence and forgiveness out of a commitment to Jesus and Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. These were people just like their Lord Jesus, who were busy with their Father's work, even in the darkest day of their lives. Seems to me the best we can do is exactly what Mary does in response. First, Luke tells us she didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. It didn't make a lot of sense. We don't always have to understand the way of Jesus. We don't always understand. But then it says, she treasured in her heart who her son is. She let the unexpected posture of this 12-year-old Son of God reframe for her who God is. So who is Jesus? For Luke, he is everything Christmas proclaims to us. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Son of God sent into the world. And where can we find him? That's a little trickier to get our arms around. He is most certainly about his Father's work. Sometimes he's ahead of us. Sometimes we've left him behind. Sometimes we didn't recognize he's been with us the whole time. But rest assured that he is here if we will but keep up our search.